Hello there, my name is McNeil and you are listening to the McNeil and Friends podcast. Here I invite different people to talk about movies. We talk about movies that are currently playing in the theaters and topics related to cinema. If you like this type of content, be sure to follow my podcast on Spotify or subscribe on Apple Podcasts. You can also support my podcast by telling your friends, and if you don't have any, you can tell your family. Thank you for listening. What's up, everybody? This is my new episode in my new series called Movie Screen Quarantine. Due to the world's current circumstances, I'm going to be talking about a wide variety of topics regarding movies in this series. Today, I'm going to be talking about my favorite movies from the 1990s. And once again, I did not have a guest today because we're quarantining in my house because of the coronavirus. So the name of my podcast, McNeil and Friends, is a bit ridiculous right now considering I won't be having guests for the time being. But oh well. You know, I guess we're just all going to have to deal with that. So, like I said, we are quarantined in my house. We're not scared of getting it ourselves. We just don't want to contribute to spreading the virus. And we have family members close to us that it could actually harm. So we're just taking the precautions the experts have given. And I hope you guys are paying attention to everything going on in the world, staying safe, and washing your hands. Now, like I said, today I'm going to be talking about my favorite movies from the 1990s. Now, I was born in 2000. I'm 20 years old. But I think the 1990s is an awesome decade for movies. I wish I was able to live through the 90s to see some of these movies in the theaters because having the theatrical experience is something that's really important to me. But there's nothing I can do about being born just barely over 2 months after the 90s ended. There are so many great movies that came out in the 90s. So unfortunately, I won't be able to talk about all the movies I like from this decade because I needed to limit myself or else I'll be talking for hours. So please don't be offended if I don't mention your favorite. Now, like I said, there are so many movies from the 90s that I really, really enjoy. But there are a few that are pretty famous that I either don't like or I think are just kind of overrated. So don't be offended if there's some that I don't mention. Doesn't mean I necessarily dislike it. There are some that I really like I'm not going to get to, but there are a couple that I'm just not a huge fan of. Now, while I have been sitting in my house quarantined, I have watched an absurd amount of movies. The amount of movies I've watched is absolutely ridiculous. I've been catching up on a few 90s movies I hadn't seen before and rewatching some I hadn't seen in a while. So there are a few 90s movies I didn't get to. Like I said, I've seen a lot, but these are three that I haven't seen from the 1990s. Braveheart, Dances with Wolves, and The Green Mile. I wish I could have gotten to these, but they are all 3+ hours, and I don't know if I had three-hour movies in me. That's at least 9 hours of my focus divided up into 3-hour blocks. So I don't know. That just seemed like a lot. I've seen a lot of 1990s movies, but these were the ones I haven't seen that I felt were significant enough to mention. Now, with all this in mind, here are some honorable mentions before I jump into my top 10. Pulp Fiction. Now, some of you guys might be saying, Pulp Fiction, just an honorable mention? It's not like in your top 5 or anything. Yeah. I get it. It's an honorable mention. It's good enough for me. I like it. It's just, I think it's a little overrated, but I do really enjoy it. Another honorable mention, The Sixth Sense. Great movie. Independence Day. It's a really fun movie. Jurassic Park. It's a great Steven Spielberg movie. He's got tons of great movies from the 90s. And The Truman Show. So these are all movies I really enjoy. Not quite my top 10 from the 1990s, but these are 5 honorable mentions. Now here's my top 10. Coming in at number 10 is The Silence of the Lambs from 1991. This is directed by Jonathan Demme. It stars Jodie Foster and Anthony Hopkins. So basically this movie is about Jodie Foster's character, Clarice Starling. She's a top student in the FBI training academy. And I guess you could say it's her boss or something. Jack Crawford is his name. He wants her to interview a brilliant psychiatrist who is also a violent psychopath. And a cannibal, Dr. Hannibal Lecter, and he is serving life behind bars. Now, Jack Crawford believes Dr. Lecter may have insight into a case that he has assigned Clarice Starling to. So this is a really interesting movie. It's definitely a horror movie, so if you don't like horror movies, this may not be for you. However, it was the first and only horror movie to ever win Best Picture. It won Like I said, Best Picture. It got Best Director, Best Actor from Anthony Hopkins. His great performance. Best Actress, Jodie Foster. And Best Adapted Screenplay. So it won 5 Oscars, which is really impressive for a horror movie. Now, the first time I saw this movie, I was a freshman in college. And that's the year I really started watching lots of movies outside of, I guess you could say, my comfort zone, which was, you know, just stereotypical sci-fi movies and just, you know, big action blockbusters and whatever. So that year I really got into studying all types of movies just for fun. And this is one of those that I watched. I actually watched this on a camping trip with a buddy of mine. And we went camping for spring break and we didn't really have anything to do at night. So we were just like, let's pull out our phone and watch a movie on Netflix. So I mean, we were sitting in a tent and we had an iPhone and watched Silence of the Lambs camping at night in a tent. May not be the best idea. I mean, however, I wasn't really all that scared. It takes a lot to scare me in a movie. I used to be the complete opposite. When I first started horror movies early on in high school, I was terrified. But this one, you know, by this point in time, you know, they weren't really scaring me. I've seen enough of them. And I just thought this movie was really good. I've seen this movie twice now. I think it's fantastic. And I really like this movie because one of the main topics in this movie is psychology. And if you guys don't know, I'm a psychology major. And I want to go to grad school for either forensic psychology or industrial organizational psychology. So either way, forensic psychology really plays a big role in this film. And Hannibal Lecter is a serial killer, psychiatrist. And there's a detective who is a double major, psychology and criminology, and she's working on this case. And so when you have these two characters interacting, it makes for some really great conversations, and they're really just like psychoanalyzing each other, and that's just stuff that I find really interesting. I also really like dark psychological thrillers and horror movies, and this definitely is that. Aside from that, and the psychology element and the genre of the movie, Anthony Hopkins' performance as Hannibal Lecter is fantastic. I've seen a decent amount of Anthony Hopkins movies, and this is by far his best performance. If you're interested in watching this movie, I believe it's available to rent on Amazon. Coming in my number 9 is Forrest Gump. Now, this is directed by Robert Zemeckis. He is a very underrated director, in my opinion. He's got lots of movies that I really like. Forrest Gump stars Tom Hanks, Robin Wright, and Gary Sinise. So basically, if you aren't aware, Forrest Gump is about a slow-witted man. As he is waiting for his bus, he tells people his life story and all of the adventures he's been on. He inspires others with his childlike optimism, but the one person Forrest Gump cares about the most is the most difficult person to save, which is his childhood love, Jenny. So this is a really great movie if you like just really good, compelling stories and adventure movies and movies that take you through lots of different time periods of history and are just a good adventure movie. You'll probably really like it if you haven't seen it. And if you haven't seen it, I don't know what you're doing wrong because this movie is iconic. It won lots of Oscars. It got Best Actor, Tom Hanks' performance as Forrest Gump. It won Best Director. It won Best Film Editing, Best Visual Effects, Best Adapted Screenplay, and most importantly, Best Picture. The first time I saw this movie, I was, I believe, in middle school, so I was probably around 12 years old. And after I saw this movie for the first time, this was one of those movies that I just had on repeat. It was a movie that I really enjoyed and I've liked for a really long time now. And I like it because, like I said, it's a good adventure movie. So those are types of films I really like, but it's not just an adventure movie. It combines adventure with this element of fantasy that not a lot of movies do. And some movies have done it that I really enjoy, and it kind of reminds me of a couple others that were made after Forrest Gump. But there are The Curious Case of Benjamin Button and Big Fish. Now, these three movies, I think they're all really good, but to me, they kind of all remind me of each other. They're all pretty similar. They have that fantasy element within this adventure story. And, you know, I think it's just really interesting how they're able to pull that off. But Forrest Gump, just it kind of goes back and it takes you through all of these historical moments that the United States has had in the 1900s, and it's interesting how they just kind of redo that. I kind of like how they did that. Also, Tom Hanks' performance is iconic, and he deserved Best Actor and I'm glad that he got that award. That's a it's a fantastic performance. If you want to rewatch this movie, because I'm sure you've seen it, or if you haven't seen it, it's I think it's available on Hulu and Amazon. Coming in at my number 8 is Contact. This is a pretty unconventional pick to have on my top 10 list for the 90s, and probably not a lot of people have seen this movie, but it's a really underrated movie in my opinion. It's also directed by Robert Zemeckis, just like Forrest Gump, and it stars, once again, we have Jodie Foster in another movie, and this one has Matthew McConaughey. This is basically a science fiction film about an encounter with alien intelligence. It's based on a novel by Carl Sagan. So basically what this movie is about is Eleanor Arroway's main character, played by Jodie Foster. She's the one scientist that has to make difficult decisions between her beliefs, the truth, and reality. The first time I saw this movie, I was a freshman in college. Like I said, that was the year I really started exploring movies outside of my comfort zone. And I really like it because it's, like I said, I like sci-fi movies, and this is an alien sci-fi movie. But this isn't your typical alien movie. They aren't invading Earth. Like, you know, there's a lot of movies out there that have aliens just destroying Earth, and, you know, it's they're taking over. And this one's really different. It has a much more philosophical approach to it. It's got a deep meaning, and it combines science and religion in a way that's really interesting, and that's something that I find really fascinating. And you have these two characters played by Jodie Foster and Matthew McConaughey. They interact in a way, they share their differences, and they come to understand their different standpoints on life through a really significant experience. And it's just a movie that I find really interesting. And it may not, like I said, this isn't a pretty unconventional pick to have in this list, but it's a movie that I was really interested in personally. So if you like sci-fi, and if you like movies that have a philosophical meaning rooted in it, you probably like this one. I think it's available to rent on Amazon. So if any of that interests you, definitely give this movie a shot. I think it'll definitely be worth it if the subject matter is interesting to you. Now, coming in at my number 7 is Batman Returns from 1992. This is directed by Tim Burton, and it stars Michael Keaton, Michelle Pfeiffer, Danny DeVito, and Christopher Walken. Basically, the plot of this movie is after Batman has defeated the Joker, he now has to face the Penguin, who is trying to be accepted by Gotham, but he's working with a corrupt businessman to help him be elected as mayor. Batman also has to face Catwoman. I saw this movie a long time ago when I was a kid, like probably even before I was 10 years old. This is just a movie that really has stuck with me for a long time. It all goes back to Tim Burton's directing style. And if you're not familiar with Tim Burton, he's got lots of movies that are really famous. And this is the time period when he was really at his peak. Like he had movies coming out right before this, like Beetlejuice, which I'm not a huge fan of. And he had some other movies that were pretty big hits in the 90s and early 2000s. But since then, he hasn't really done very well recently, which is disappointing because Tim Burton's style back in the day is really fascinating. He's got a really dark tone to all of his movies. It's really mysterious. But all of his movies have this strange fantasy vibe to it, where it's obviously a fictional setting that they're in. And that's interesting for Batman, because Batman is a very realistic superhero. But I think in the late 80s, early 90s, when he was making these Batman movies, he was probably the best director that they could have had for a Batman movie. Because I don't think in the 90s, if you had a realistic Batman movie, I don't think it would have worked. And that's why I think it worked in 2005 with Christopher Nolan. And Tim Burton was perfect as a director for Batman in the 1990s. Now, this is a movie, Batman Returns. It's the second one. It's much darker than Batman from 1989. I've read stories online about parents actually having to take their kids out of the theater because this movie was really dark. And if you know me, and you've heard me say this on this podcast multiple times, I'm a huge fan of dark movies. And I like that this one was not afraid to take it into a darker route. Tim Burton's style, it's iconic. And you've got these performances. Danny DeVito as the Penguin is not an accurate representation of Penguin from the comics, because he legitimately looks like a penguin in this movie. It looks like all four of his fingers are connected, I guess you could say. And then he has a thumb. It's just really weird. And I like that Tim Burton took everything in a very exaggerated route. Catwoman got her powers from a bunch of cats. That's not realistic at all. The Penguin lived with... he had a penguin army or whatever. The movie is just very exaggerated, and I like that. Because it was like Tim Burton knew what he was doing. This movie took all those risks, and I think it really worked. I understand if you don't like it, but I think this movie is awesome. Batman's one of my favorite superheroes, and the older I've gotten, the more and more he's becoming one of my favorite superheroes. But aside from the style of this movie, Danny Elfman's score is fantastic. So basically what he did with this music is this movie takes place during Christmas, and Danny Elfman does a lot of Tim Burton scores, and it's basically just kind of creepy at the same time as it, you can listen to it and you're like, that kind of sounds like Christmas music, but it's got a real haunting vibe to it that I don't know, the way they combined Christmas with scary music, I just think it's brilliant and I love it. So it's like this Christmas movie, but it's dark and mysterious and was just strange all around. The, like I said, the villains in this movie are fantastic. The Penguin and Michelle Pfeiffer's Catwoman. I don't think those two performances can be topped, but we'll see when the Batman with Robert Pattinson comes out, because both of those villains are supposed to be in it, played by different actors, obviously. But if you are interested in this movie, you could watch it on Amazon, and I don't know if the first Batman's on it. Don't waste your time with the Joel Schumacher Batman movies that came after this. They're terrible. But if you want to check out the Tim Burton Batman movies, I believe they're on Amazon. So coming in at my number six is Edward Scissorhands, and this came out in 1990, so the first year of the decade. This is also directed by Tim Burton, stars Johnny Depp and Winona Ryder. So basically what this movie is about is Edward, who is an unfinished science experiment, is discovered by a saleswoman named Peg. She takes him to her hometown, and which is just down the mountain. But because Edward Scissorhands has scissors for hands, he becomes an outcast. The first time I saw this movie, I was a freshman in high school, and it was in my English class. And that time frame of my life, I was really only interested in Star Wars, Marvel, and Fast and Furious. And I don't know why, but I really liked this movie, and I think it's just because Tim Burton's style, once again, it just really captivated me. He's got a, like, I'm not going to go on another rant like I did with Batman Returns, but Tim Burton has a fantastic style. Once again, Danny Elfman's score is fantastic, and the main thing I think I really like about this movie, aside from the style of Tim Burton and Danny Elfman, Johnny Depp's performance as Edward Scissorhands is great. He doesn't have a lot of dialogue. He doesn't say a lot in this movie. And he acts with his body language and his facial expressions. And it's almost kind of like, because he's not human. He's a science experiment. He's like this robot type thing that appears as if he's human. So in a way, he's kind of like a rescue dog, I guess, because he's in this very unfamiliar setting and he's having to adapt to it. And they kind of, in ways that, I mean, I don't know if I'm the only person that's caught this. I highly doubt it. Maybe somebody else has thought of this, but it's kind of like they treat him like a rescue dog. You bring in a dog that you've adopted and you're trying to make them comfortable in the house. You know, you talk to them in a different kind of voice or whatever, because you're not going to, they don't understand what you're saying. And you have to make sure they're not getting into things and stuff like that. So in a way, I don't know, it kind of reminded me of that. It's kind of weird, but I like Tim Burton's style. So anything weird that he does, I'm all for, except his newer stuff. Not that great. But Johnny Depp's performance as Edward Scissorhands is great. And I also really like the meaning behind it, which is all about the outcast. And a lot of people, I think, feel really sorry for Edward Scissorhands as a character in this movie. But what's funny is, like, I mean, most people will point their fingers at stereotypes and they're like, oh, you're in this group, I'm not going to associate with you. You're in this group, I'm not going to associate with you. But these people that are pointing their fingers at other stereotypes will watch this movie and they'll look at Johnny Depp's character and go, oh, wow, I feel really sorry for him. I'm like, that's the point. If you're going to look at somebody that's similar in this way in real life, use the same sympathy in the movie. that you have in real life. You know, I think that's something that I think that was the message of the movie, and it's really cool. But yeah, so the story I really like. I just like the weird fantasy nature of the movie. It's kind of dark. It's kind of weird, a little creepy at times, but I think it's a really good story. It's also kind of Christmassy in a way, like Batman Returns was in Edward Scissorhands. So the score is kind of similar from Danny Elfman's side. But overall, I'm a Tim Burton fan when he was at his peak back in the day. And I think Edward Scissorhands is a great movie. So if you want to check this movie out, I believe it's on Amazon. Coming in at my number five is Titanic. This was from 1997. It was directed by James Cameron. And it stars Leonardo DiCaprio and Kate Winslet. And basically, if you haven't seen this movie, it's a 101-year-old Rose tells a story of her experience on the Titanic and her love story with Jack Dawson. So, yeah, this is a great movie. And to prove it, it won 11 Academy Awards. It got Best Production Design, Best Cinematography, Best Visual Effects, Best Film Editing, Best Costume Design, Best Sound Mixing, Best Sound Editing, Best Original Score, Best Original Song, Best Director, and Best Picture. That's 11 awards. I mean, that's crazy that a movie did that. And it's a great movie. It's long. It's over 3 hours. But it's fantastic. And I think I watched this movie the first time right after I graduated high school on vacation in Canada. And the reason I like this movie a lot is because it tells the events of a historical event through a fictional love story. And I think that's a really cool idea because the Titanic was a pretty monumental event that happened. They were all saying back in the day that this boat can't sink, and it did. It's a big historical moment. And telling the story through the eyes of two young people that are falling in love with each other, I think is an interesting way to tell the story because it really allows you to just immerse yourself into the story. And it's really interesting how they were able to pull that off. The performances from Leonardo DiCaprio and Kate Winslet are great, and their chemistry is undeniable. And I don't know about you guys, but at the end, when Leonardo DiCaprio is in the freezing cold water and she's on top of the whatever that object was in the water, I think it was a door or something after the boat had sank. Anyway, what I'm trying to say is Leonardo DiCaprio did not even try to get on that object, that door, I think, with Kate Winslet. He let her have it, which I understand, and I get the point of the story, but it's like, dude, you should have tried. You should have tried to get on there, too. You know, if it got in the water, then hop off and let her live. I get it, but you should have tried. I've heard a lot of people talk about that, and that's interesting. So I'm on the side of the fence where Leonardo DiCaprio didn't have to die, but maybe I should rewatch it and see what I think now. But I think aside from the idea of the story and the relationship between these two characters, I think the music in this movie is great. I think the visual effects are awesome. And just the way that this movie looks, aside from the visual effects, just like the way they replicated this entire setting and that time period, I think is really fascinating how they just made everything look so similar to all the pictures you see and everything like that. It's really cool. So if you like this movie, if you want to rewatch it, because a lot of people have seen it, and if you just want to try it out for the first time, I think it's available on Amazon. So give it a shot if you haven't seen it. Coming in at my number four is The Shawshank Redemption. This came out in 1994, and this was directed by Frank Darabont. It stars Tim Robbins and Morgan Freeman. So this movie is based on a Stephen King book, and it's about Andy, who is framed for the murder of his wife and the man she was having an affair with. He is sent to the Shawshank prison, where he puts his accounting skills to work. While living his life in prison, he becomes admired by other inmates. This is really a story about friendship and how important friendship is in life. And it's a very powerful story, and it's one that people from all over have an immense amount of respect for. The first time I saw this movie was my freshman year of college, the year I really just got into watching all types of movies. And I like this film because it's a great story. It takes you through every emotion and it gets you attached to all these characters. And really, it's just one of those movies that it really locks you in the whole time, right when it starts until the very end. And it's just an unforgettable movie. It's got, like I said, it's got a great story, great characters. It's just a great movie all around. If you really just want to watch a good drama, watch The Shawshank Redemption, especially if you haven't seen it. And if you want to rewatch it, it's on Netflix and it's on Amazon. So if you haven't seen it, give it a shot. If you want to rewatch it, that's where you can find it. Coming in my number three is Good Will Hunting from 1997. This was directed by Gus Van Sant. It stars Matt Damon, Robin Williams, Ben Affleck, Casey Affleck, and Stellan Skarsgård. So basically, this movie is about Will Hunting, who has a genius level IQ, but works as a janitor at MIT. The professor, a math professor there, discovers his talent, but after Will gets in trouble with the police, the professor sends Will to get treatment from therapist Sean McGuire, played by the great Robin Williams. Now, the interesting thing about this movie is that Matt Damon and Ben Affleck, who are really good friends, they wrote this movie when they were like, I think they were younger than me when they wrote this movie, right around my age, right around the time they were 20. And this is the movie that put them on the charts and got them recognized by the movie industry and the world. But yeah, this is the movie that put Matt Damon and Ben Affleck on the charts. It's a great movie. There's lots of talent that goes into this movie. It's fantastic. And it won two Oscars. Robin Williams got Best Supporting Actor for this movie. And it also won Best Original Screenplay, which it definitely deserved because of Matt Damon and Ben Affleck and how young they were when they wrote this and the talent that they had that really shows in this movie. And it's a great story. I saw this movie for the first time. I was a freshman in college. And I like this movie because of the characters. I like the dynamic between Sean McGuire and Will Hunting, and how Sean McGuire helps Will Hunting learn about himself, how to deal with his emotions, and how to deal with his past. It's one of these movies that's also a really powerful story, like Shawshank Redemption in ways, probably because the genre is really similar. They're just a good drama. It's very dialogue-driven. It's just like these movies that really just take you on this journey through this time and these characters' lives, and it's a really strong story. I really enjoy it. Matt Damon has a great performance. Ben Affleck, he's good in the movie, and Robin Williams, his performance is definitely the best. It's a great movie. Check it out. It's on Hulu and Amazon. I'm sure you guys have probably seen it. It's a very famous movie, as it should be. And yeah, if you haven't seen it before, check it out. It's on Hulu or and Amazon. And if you want to rewatch it, check it out. So coming into my number two is The Matrix. The Matrix came out in 1999. It is directed by Lily and Lana Wachowski. This movie stars Keanu Reeves, Lawrence Fishburne, Carrie Ann Moss, and Hugo Weaving. Basically, I'm going to keep the plot of this movie short, simple, no spoilers, because this is definitely a movie to not know anything about before you go into it. It's about a computer hacker who wants to know what the Matrix is and discovers the truth behind reality. That is as brief as I can be about the plot of this movie. It won four Oscars, Best Film Editing, Sound Mixing, Sound Editing, and Best Visual Effects. The visual effects in this movie were definitely groundbreaking for the time. I could see how some people might think they're a little bit cheesy now, but it definitely works for 1999 and just the style of this movie in general. I love it. But yeah, if you look at these awards that it won, it was all the technical effects, which I think is really interesting. So a little bit about this movie when it comes to the first time I saw it. So when I was a freshman in high school, I was 14, I joined this movie club, and it didn't last very long. But basically, it was this club I joined with some people. I think it was like, I don't even remember who the teacher was. It was like some art teacher or something who was hosting this club where he gave us all a list of movies that we were going to watch. And there are all these famous movies. I remember like Fight Club was on the list. I know The Matrix was on the list, obviously, because that's why I'm telling the story. Some other really big movies, a lot of them actually, I think, came from the 90s. And so our parents would have to go and sign by each movie which one we could and couldn't watch because some of them were rated R. But the club got shut down because of some parent that didn't even have kids in the club. And the parent didn't like that some of us were being shown rated R movies. And I'm like, dude, our parents signed by this. You're not my mom. You're not my dad. Why are you telling a school what we can and can't do if our parents are okay with it? And they're keeping track of which kid's in or not. I don't know. Stupid little rant. But in this club, the only time I was able to go, because it got shut down in the first 2 weeks, and I guess my parents didn't sign by the second movie, but I watched The Matrix in this club. I was 14 years old, and I went home, and I was like, this movie sucked. And it's only because I liked Fast and Furious, Marvel movies, Star Wars, and apparently Tim Burton movies. But I was just so stubborn at the time. I'm still a stubborn person, but I'm very open-minded when it comes to any type of movie. But at that point in time, I was closed-minded and was like, only these certain franchises I will watch. And that's why I said I didn't like The Matrix. And like I said, earlier on in this episode, I was going back while I'm sitting here in my house, rewatching some of these 90s movies. And I knew this was a famous one. And this was one that I rewatched. And it'd been a long time since I had seen it. And I actually rewatched it just a few days ago. And I think it's awesome. And I like this movie because it combines all my favorite things that movies do. It has action, it's futuristic, it's philosophical, it's sci-fi, and it makes you think not just about the story, but it also makes you think and theorize about the future of just real life and your own reality. If you're a weirdo like me, then you'll do that. But it's an awesome movie all around. It's a good time, and I recommend this to you if you like movies that mess with your mind, because this one will definitely do that. So it's on Amazon. I rented it there. And if you want to check it out or if you want to rewatch it, find it on Amazon. Before I reveal my favorite movies from the 1990s, here are five more honorable mentions. Now, I know I already gave some honorable mentions before, but like I said, there's so many movies from the 1990s that I just want to mention. But this group of honorable mentions, I actually like slightly better than the ones I previously mentioned. So I got right here, A Few Good Men, Saving Private Ryan, Fight Club, Before Sunrise, and Schindler's List. These are all great movies. I just like them slightly better than the ones I mentioned before. But yeah, I felt like I needed to mention a couple more. So here is my number one, Seven, from 1995. This is directed by David Fincher, who's one of my favorite directors. I think he's fantastic with almost every movie he makes. This Seven stars Brad Pitt, Morgan Freeman, Gwyneth Paltrow, and Kevin Spacey. Basically, what this movie is about is Brad Pitt he's playing this detective at a new job and is paired with Morgan Freeman, who is a retiring detective. They are put up to investigate a serial killer that is targeting people that represent the seven deadly sins. This is a movie that the famous line, "What's in a box?" came from. I saw this movie for the first time, actually right before I started college, I believe. It was like the summer after I graduated high school, right before I jumped into college. So I was 18, and this was one of the few movies I've seen that I watched for the first time, and I'm like, I gotta watch that again. I did that with Inception. That's my favorite movie ever. There's a few movies that I've actually done that with, and Seven is one of them. And the reason I like this so much is, if you haven't caught on already, I like dark psychological thrillers. They kind of experiment with the horror territory. And this movie definitely does that. And I find serial killer stories fascinating. So naturally, this movie caught my attention. This particular story is really interesting to me because of the serial killer's motivations. He's killing people that are represented on the seven deadly sins. And I think that's a really unique concept for a story. And I got to get this out of here. This is not based on a true story. This is just a fictional story. So if you watch it, don't think this happened in real life, because it is a really, really messed up movie. If you like psychological thrillers, if you like horror movies, check this one out. It's really good. The characters are interesting. The interactions between all these characters in this movie, it can be mysterious at times, and it's also just really intriguing. And like I said, David Fincher, he's a great director, so he knew what he was doing with this movie. And he's the master of suspense. He's fantastic. A lot of his movies are really suspenseful. And personally, this one's my favorite. A lot of people say Fight Club, and I know they had that in my honorable mentions. I think that's a great movie. I was just able to predict the end. And Seven was a movie that I was blown away by. I think it's fantastic. So if you want to watch Seven, if you haven't seen it, if you want to rewatch it, I believe it's on Amazon. So yeah, I hope you've enjoyed hearing about my favorite movies from the 1990s. And remember that everybody's list is going to be different. Nobody's list is right or wrong because there's so many great movies from the 1990s. So, yeah, thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoyed this episode. Be sure to tune in for more episodes in the series, and be sure to follow me on Letterboxd at McNeil Mullican, McNeilMullican. No spaces or capital letters. Letterboxd is where I post movies I watch and write reviews. You can also follow me on Instagram at underscore McNeil, McNeill, followed by two more underscores. This is where you can send me your feedback and let me know what your favorite movies are from the 1990s. You can follow the McNeil and Friends podcast on Instagram at McNeil.and.friends.podcast. Also, if you have anything you'd like me to talk about on this podcast for this series, message me through either Instagram account. Lastly, you can find the McNeil and Friends podcast on Patreon and support this podcast by becoming a patron if you so desire. If you made it to the end of this podcast, congratulations, and once again, thank you for listening.